Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the off-ramp of free speech. Why would you want to get off the free speech highway? You don't. Actually, it's the on-ramp of free speech. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and get on that toll road. It is a toll road. It's a toll road, and so pay some tolls. And it's the on-ramp to free speech, not the off-ramp. It's the on-ramp. Okay, so we have Mark Collett today. Mark, welcome to the show.
I am certainly driving onto the free speech highway with yourself, Patrick, and I'm very much looking forward to what we're talking about today. It's always good to start the week with some good nationalist chat.
It certainly is. Yeah, and I said I had off-ramps on my mind because I was thinking there's no off-ramp for Zelensky. And so we'll just start with that. Could he possibly say, okay, it's time to negotiate now, when he wasn't negotiating? Well, I mean, he looked like he might be willing to negotiate in Turkey back in March, and Boris Johnson said, nah, don't do it. But, you know, he has refused to negotiate. And if he had negotiated in March, you know, he could have kept Kherson or some of these other provinces. If he doesn't negotiate now, as Henry Kissinger of all people says, 99-year-old Henry Kissinger, you don't negotiate after 2 months, there will be nothing left. There will be nothing left. But there's no off-ramp for him. How can he say, okay, I'll negotiate now, when if he had negotiated 3 months ago, he would have had a lot more. And now he's in this position. I just think he's going to be overthrown. I don't think he can do it. I think every day that goes on, they're going to lose more and more territory, more and more people, and the generals and the soldiers are just sick of him. That's what I think. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't think he's going to be overthrown. I've already given some good reasons before when we discussed this topic in the past. I don't think he's going to be overthrown. And at the moment, there is a massive, massive publicity drive here in the West to almost anoint him as a superhero. I was reading in the mainstream media today, Ben Stiller, obviously a very successful Hollywood actor, somebody who held...
He was in every single film in 2006. Every single film out of Hollywood had Ben Stiller in it.
He was in a lot of films. Do you know what? Ben Stiller's one of those actors. This is going to take us off on a right tangent, and we barely got started. Ben Stiller's one of those actors. But he has actually been in some funny films. I have enjoyed some of his films, two of which include Meet the Parents, which was funny. And there was one called The Heartbreak Kid, about a guy who falls in love with a girl and she seems perfect until the minute they are married, and then she morphs into the most annoying person in the world. At which point they go on their honeymoon, and then he meets his perfect woman on the honeymoon. It's just, it sounds mad and it sounds a little degenerate, and it's probably both. And I did enjoy the film to some point, but there's a certain turning point in the film where it becomes utterly degenerate, and that kind of ruined it a little bit for me. But overall, there were a lot of laughs in those films. But he is quite a popular guy, and I think, you know, obviously they're wheeling him out. This is sort of some big publicity thing. Oh, well, Ben Stiller's over in Kiev. But it's not just been Ben Stiller. There's been all these Western leaders over there. Boris Johnson's been over there again, which is a very, very strange decision on his part. And
they don't call him Down Syndrome Trump for nothing.
Well, I can tell you this now. It's a very weird decision for him to be in there. We can go into that later. But what I will say is, fundamentally, there is a massive, massive drive here in the West to build up this man, to build up Zelensky as a hero, to carve out this kind of persona of him as this plucky guy who has stood up to, you know, the Russian tyranny and has been winning. You know, I said that's how, obviously, they run two sorts of stories, both of which are diametrically opposed. One minute they're winning and the next minute they're cut off and they're the plucky defenders that just need another, you know, 40 billion in anti-tank weapons and munitions. But, you know, we've discussed that as well. I would say this, though. I can't see him backing down, because if he did back down...
How can he back down?
He can't. There's no way out for him. There is no way out for him other than, like you say, his generals just sort of taking him, you know, by the scruff of the neck and hurling him out. He can't back down. He can't go back on what's happened, because he's been built up for this, and he's become... I don't want to seem as if I'm being too kind about him. I certainly don't want to seem to be just from being too kind about him, but he does seem to have been built up as almost a superhuman character now. He does seem to be this guy. And if he did back down, that persona would be trashed. It would be gone. It would be over. You know, he would be finished. And at that point, he would have served his purpose. And I don't see, you know, how he could do that. And I also think, as I've said before, with the amount of Western pressure for him to keep going, I'm not sure that anyone would be big enough to pull him to one side. But this is just a really interesting observation of mine. And you might think I'm a crackpot, but hear me out. Is there even that much of a war raging in the Ukraine? Is there really that much of a war raging there? And you might think that's an odd question to ask. But you've got celebrities. You've got all of the Western leaders from across Europe. You've got all of these Western TV producers and reporters and correspondents, and they're all in Kiev. Now, if Kiev was really under great threat, if the Russians really were taking it to the Ukraine and pounding the place to rubble and leveling everything in sight, as we've been told that they are, would all these people actually be going to the Ukraine? Would all these people be there? Would you have people like Boris Johnson flying in? And the answer, obviously, is no, which does pose the question, is Russia really, really a monstrous regime trying to capture the whole country? Or are actually the Russians the reasonable ones trying to secure territories held by ethnic Russians, Russian speakers, who are being menaced by a corrupt Ukrainian government? And that's a question you've got to ask yourself. And I think we know the answer. Because if this was, as the media try to paint at times, and it's quite interesting, actually, because I'm often quite dismissive of the British public or the general public in general and the opinions and the way they react to things. But you've got to say this, the public aren't completely stupid. And I remember seeing some of the comments under these articles about Ben Stiller going there, Johnson going there, other Western leaders going there, with people saying, I thought this was meant to be a war zone. I thought this was meant to be this active conflict zone where the people of Kiev were, you know, diving under tables every 5 minutes as air raid sirens were going. I thought Kiev was being shelled on a daily basis. And, you know, we were sending billions in aid because they were, you know, down to their last munitions, almost out of both bullets and stamina. And here you are with Zelensky doing a walk around of Kiev with all these world leaders. Well, I can tell you this now. If Kiev was this active war zone, if Kiev was a place where it was being shelled on a daily or hourly basis and the Russians were cutting it off and committing these atrocities, Boris Johnson wouldn't be there then. Boris Johnson is only in Kiev because Kiev is probably safer than parts of London for somebody like Boris Johnson to walk through. And that sounds funny, but it's got to be true, hasn't it?
No, that's the question. Excellent. Very excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to prompt the question, what is really going on in the Ukraine? And is a lot of this being used as a pantomime? Is it being used as a cover, as a distraction, as an excuse for things going on here in the West? Because things in the West are falling to pieces at a rapid rate, and you've got to blame somebody. And, you know, blaming the great evil, the great Satan himself, obviously I'm being sarcastic, Vladimir Putin, blaming him is very convenient, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's what they're going to, the Putin inflation and all of this. And Putin himself, he had a large, extensive press conference, a speech and then answered questions. And he was talking about this. And, like, it's just so absurd. As we spoke yesterday, he made a lot of the same points. The economic problems in the West have little to do with what's going on, the war in the Ukraine. They have little to do with this. It has to do with the points that we made. He made the same points, that this has been decades of economic mismanagement, of allowing the productive industrial base to just wither away, all sorts of things. So that's what's going on. I have a question. You know, so Zelensky has been made into a hero, and it's weird. And if he hasn't put on a shirt and tie in months, which is kind of strange, because he's, you know, he greets Boris Johnson or Emmanuel Macron, and he's wearing a khaki T-shirt, right? And it's weird. Now there have been people. I've had people who have been telling me from pretty much the get-go that they think that he's on cocaine. And, you know, well, I don't have any evidence, but now Dmitry Medvedev, the former Russian president who has got a post that's the equivalent of national security advisor now, he's saying that the Ukrainian leadership should put down the cocaine. And that's, that's still, Medvedev has come out recently and been said a lot of pretty harsh things. And he said, Ukraine can apply for membership in the EU. By the time they're ready to admit Ukraine, there might not be a Ukraine, and there might not be an EU either. He's saying stuff like that. But my friend sent me this video of pre-President Zelensky, when he was just a popular actor. And according to, like, I don't speak Ukrainian, but according to the captions, he was being asked about drugs, and he was saying, yeah, I take cocaine, and like, I can wake up early, I can walk my dog, I can do all these things, and you know, it's great. And, like, I don't understand Ukrainian, but I did hear him say the word narcotic several times. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Do you think there's anything to it?
I think you make a very important point about the T-shirt. Now, obviously, this guy's an actor. Now, you could argue politicians are actors. You know, I could go with that. I could go with that. Politicians are actors too. But what I have to say is, fundamentally, something isn't right here, is it? There's something wrong on a big level. There's something wrong. And I think the T-shirt, I think his general dress and demeanor, all of this is to play a role. It's a visual cue to normal people to say, this guy is a wartime leader. This guy isn't Mr. Suit, Shirt and Tie. This is the leader that's on the front line with his own troops. Now, he's clearly not on the front line with his own troops.
He doesn't wear a military uniform. Like, the khaki T-shirt's not a military uniform.
But I think that's the point. But that's the point.
He dressed like Saddam Hussein, right?
But that's the point of the T-shirt is not that he's a leader in the sense... Right. How can I phrase this? You've got the Russians, and when they show a Russian officer, they usually show a Russian officer in their grand uniform with a series of medals or a series of ribbons or little bars that denote his importance. And that is to make those people in your mind equate with the generals and officers that you saw in Star Wars manning the Death Star or a Star Destroyer. Now, Zelensky, on the other hand, he's wearing his khaki T-shirt. And that is to make you equate him. That is to make you equate him with the opposite, with the Rebel Alliance. That is to make you equate him with a plucky rebel group, these upstarts who fundamentally aren't as well armed. They don't have the big suits. They don't have the little bars across made up of little colors. They don't have all the medals. These guys are civilians. They're normal people who have put on military-style garb, and they're fighting back, the scruffy Rebel Alliance fighting back against the evil Imperials. And this is out of Hollywood. That's why I used the Hollywood analogy that hopefully everyone will understand, because I think everyone, pretty much everyone, knows what Star Wars is or was. So I hope everyone gets that. But that's what they're going for. This is all pageantry. Now, if he was meeting Johnson in a suit, shirt and tie, people would say, oh, he looks just like a politician. Now, if he met Johnson wearing a officer's uniform, again, that would make it look like the Ukraine had a structured military in the same way that Russia does. But meeting Johnson dressed in the way he dresses makes it look like he is the Ukraine's Luke Skywalker or Han Solo or, you know, a member of this rebel alliance fighting against the evil empire. And it's all being done carefully. It's absolute pageantry. And you think to yourself, well, I don't think this and you don't think this, and I'm sure the listeners of this show don't think this, but the general public, the idea is for the general public, and I'm sure some of the general public do think this, that, you know, when he's finished talking to Boris or showing these European leaders around or taking Ben Stiller for a walk around of a bombed building or a building that looks like something recently's happened to it, you know, he scuttles back off to the front line to shake hands with people, you know, put a few mortar shells, you know, into the mortars and hand out ammunition to people who are starved for rations and munitions. That's the idea it gives you. That's what it puts into your mind. And even if you don't notice this on a conscious level, your subconscious notices it. It will have a subconscious effect on people. Now, you've noticed it on a conscious level and we're discussing it, but I should imagine most normal people, most, you know, Joe public, will look at him and they will say, this guy, he is, you know, out there, the leader of the Rebel Alliance. He's doing good, this lad. He's helping his people. And you and I know he's not. But this is all being cleverly done by the media, Western governments, by NGOs, by the shadowy hands that pull the strings in the background to build him up. And that's why I don't think he can back down. Because when you're an actor, you just read the script. You know, when you're playing the role of Luke Skywalker, you don't one day just go, you know what, this is madness. We've only got 30 X-Wings and we're going up against the entire Imperial Navy in a Death Star. You know what? They might blow up our planet if we mess this up. So how about we just turn ourselves in, sue for peace, and the planet doesn't get blown up? That's a much better way for victory. Well, you don't say that because you're acting. You do the trench run, you overcome the Death Star, and it's all written for you. And that's what I think Zelensky's doing. I think he'll keep doing this. He can't back down. Because for him, I'm not even sure whether he's making the decisions, any decisions. Yeah.
No, who knows? You know, he was installed as a puppet. You know, the coup d'etat was Victoria Nuland 2014, but Zelensky in particular is what's his name? Vladimir Kolomoisky's puppet, one of the oligarchs, although he's obviously being manipulated to a great extent by the State Department and by NATO and other Western leaders. Hey, we're at the break. We'll be back in just a second. Thank you.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Okay, we're back. So yeah, Zelensky as Luke Skywalker, he's stuck with the script. He can't, this is his role. And that's why I've been saying that there is going to come a time. I think already there's got to be, and I don't have inside information on this, but I just think there has to be generals and other people in the military who see this is going nowhere good and want out. Now, obviously, overthrowing a government entails risks, and it's not just a matter of getting the critical mass of it's more, you need more than just a critical mass of discontent within the ranks. You actually need some sort of actionable plan, and that's difficult. So I don't know when this is going to happen. I think it would have to happen, but. Because it's this just can't go on forever. If he doesn't sue for peace now by August, Odessa will probably be in Russian hands. Ukraine will be landlocked, and then who knows what's happened? And you got people like Alexander Lukashenko, the president of Belarus, who keeps warning that the Poles are looking for an opportunity to retake the city of Lviv, which had been Polish between the world wars. So there's all sorts of things that could happen. I don't know what's going to happen. But the thing is, no matter what Zelensky does, it's not going to stop the Russians from
from meeting their objectives. But the thing is, the Russian objectives, the longer this goes on, the bigger the Russian objectives are getting. And the Russian attitude is hardening. It's not, you don't see it as much in what Vladimir Putin says, but Dmitry Medvedev, he's like, and he's not calling the shots. He was the former president. He was a former prime minister, but he was always, even in both roles, he was really subordinate to Vladimir Putin. But he's out there saying that, the hell with the West, they can come groveling back, and they can beg our forgiveness, and maybe we'll forgive them and maybe we won't. So the longer this goes on, the harder the Russian attitudes get, and the worse it's going to be for everybody on the Western side, not just Zelensky. I mean, Zelensky, he might have a future in Tel Aviv or somewhere else. But you know, what's going to happen to Johnson? And Johnson isn't he incurring the wrath of his own party? Isn't he supposed to be campaigning for his own party? And he's over in hobnobbing with Han Solo in Kiev.
You make a very good point, and this is something that people should note. Boris Johnson is now pretty much beleaguered. Boris Johnson is in a position where fundamentally he is, for want of a better term, he's screwed. Boris Johnson is now, or should have been, over the last weekend, campaigning in very important by-elections where Conservatives, you know, could well lose seats and could well end up in a much worse position electorally in the UK than they have been for some time. But Boris Johnson isn't out campaigning in these by-elections. Why isn't he out campaigning in these by-elections? Well, he's not out campaigning in these by-elections because he knows he's becoming more and more unpopular. He knows that fundamentally, if he goes out in these areas, he may well get confronted by angry people who have got very, very justifiable reasons to be angry and may well ask him some really, really telling and uncomfortable questions that he would find it very difficult to answer. So instead of being out on the streets in these northern towns or in this northern city of Wakefield, where there is a by-election, actually the Wakefield constituency is made up of Wakefield City and two towns, or Horbury and Ossett. But he's not out in Horbury, Ossett and Wakefield. He's instead in the Ukraine. Well, why is he out in the Ukraine? Well, he's out in the Ukraine because it serves him to be there. It serves him to be making Luke Skywalker look good, to making him look like he's supporting the Rebel Alliance, to be part of this game. And he wants to be seen as this great wartime leader. Now, a while back, we spoke about this much. I was very, very annoyed about this because I said the public were very, very fickle, because the public had come out of COVID and they were like very much Johnson bad, Johnson the bad man, Johnson let us down. And all of a sudden, Johnson was over in the Ukraine and supporting Zelensky. And instead of Johnson bad, they were all of a sudden Johnson hero, Johnson wartime hero. We must all support Johnson. But, and this is a huge but, this is now swinging back again. And you look at the comments under the Daily Mail articles, because that's the news feed I tend to focus on. Mm-hmm. And the same people who were saying, you know, Johnson has messed everything up with COVID, then loved him again, and now scratching their heads and saying, well, why isn't he out in these by-elections? Right. Why isn't he dealing with the cost of living crisis? Why isn't he speaking to the British people?
Well, you'll have to ask those questions as soon as we get back to the break.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Okay, we are back, and one may well ask why Boris Johnson isn't out there campaigning. He isn't out there. He's ignoring the by-elections. What's that all about?
Well, again, this is a big scripted publicity stunt. You know, this is something that Johnson, you know, make no mistake, Johnson is choosing to be there. Johnson is choosing to be in Kiev. This isn't something he has to do. He's not forced to be there. This isn't a situation where Johnson is really, well, I'd love to be in Wakefield. I want to answer the people's questions, but I need to be in Kiev. And if I'm not in Kiev, we're not going to beat the Russians. That's not what this is. This is a case of he is needed in Wakefield. He is needed in towns and cities all over Britain. And he's needed in those places because people want answers. People want answers as to why our economy is being wrecked, why petrol prices are through the roof, why we're imposing ludicrous sanctions on Russia that only seem to be hurting Britain, and why helping the Ukraine at a time like this is the wise thing to do, when clearly it is to the detriment of the British people. And that's the important thing. It is to the detriment of the British people.
And how many people are realizing that it's also to the detriment of the Ukrainian people?
I don't think people care about that. I'm not saying that to be funny. I don't think the British people at the moment care. I think British people at the moment are looking at petrol prices creeping steadily towards £2 a litre and thinking to themselves, hey, how are we going to get to work in the morning? How are we going to drive the kids to school? How are we going to fill up our tank of fuel? You know, filling up our, you know, four-door family saloon used to cost us £60. Now it costs us £120. We have to fill up twice a month. So we're spending an extra £120 a month, every month, on fuel. That's got to come from somewhere. How do we put the tea on the table? How do we pay for the family holiday? How do we pay for the gas and the electric? Because that's just gone up. How are we going to pay for the kids' school trip or for the new school uniforms at the beginning of the next term? They're normal people problems. They're problems that normal folk have. And I think at the start of all of this, we'd come out of COVID. There was this idea that things were just going to bounce back, that there was going to be some mini economic miracle where everything just went back to normal. And people were quite up for helping the Ukraine. People were very much up for doing our bit. But people are always up for doing their bit when they don't think there's going to be a cost to it.
Mm-hmm.
People are significantly less up for doing their bit when they realize their kids aren't going to eat because of it. Or they can't afford to put petrol in the tank because of it. All of a sudden then, reality hits home that maybe, just maybe, getting involved in a foreign war that has nothing to do with Britain, and in fact only puts British interests at risk, that's a bad idea. That's not a good idea. That's not helping. That's not doing the right thing by British people. And all of a sudden, that very much becomes the prevailing thought. And you start to see now that kind of righteous anger here in the UK towards the conflict in the Ukraine, towards Boris Johnson spending all his time out there. And people have started, you know, I've been very critical of the British public. You know I have, and I've been very critical of their fickle nature at times. But even the fickle British public have started to say, in these comment sections, this looks like a diversion. This looks like he's over there posturing to distract from the problems that are going on at home that he can't deal with. And this is a lot bigger than Partygate. And I'll tell you why it's a lot bigger than Partygate. Partygate may have annoyed people. It may have got under people's skin. People might, at the very lowest level, being a bit like, well, this is great, gross hypocrisy. And it is gross hypocrisy, or was. And at the highest level, the really intelligent ones will have said, you know what? This proves that COVID was a load of nonsense, because the people pushing it the hardest actually didn't really care about it and didn't follow the rules, proving that there was no great worry. So that's what people would be thinking. But Partygate didn't really affect the average guy, did it? If you're sat at home with a can of lager in your hand, watching Premier League football, waiting for your takeaway to arrive, and you're as happy as, you know, a pig in slop, Partygate might irritate you, but it's not going to cause you serious loss of sleep or anguish. What does cause you serious loss of sleep or anguish is when you can't pay your bills, you can't put your fuel in the car, you can't feed your family. And I think this is where Johnson is coming undone. You can brush Partygate under the carpet as something he shouldn't have done. You can't brush these other things under the carpet, because they affect people's daily lives in a way that Partygate never did. This affects people's daily lives in a way that, for some, COVID didn't. Because you, let's be honest, let's be really honest here, for some people COVID was quite popular. If you're on 50 grand a year and you're told to work from home, well, okay, you're reduced to 40 grand a year, but you're never leaving the house and you're on furlough, so you're not actually doing any work.
Right. Public school teachers in America, they love
that. Yeah, lots of people actually like that. Nobody likes this. Nobody's saying, I want more of this. Nobody's asking, oh, I really hope petrol prices hit £3 a litre. Nobody's saying that, Patrick, because it burns. This is actually burning people. And I know that COVID did financially affect small businesses. I know some small businesses suffered, but there was a lot of people who actually quite enjoyed the furlough. Nobody's liking this. And that's the big difference. And that is putting Johnson in a position that whether we like it or whether he likes it or not, which he probably doesn't like it in the slightest, he's never really been in this position. And I don't believe he's coming out of this. I don't believe he's going to survive this because it's just too much to survive. He's hurting people in a way that they won't forget and they won't forgive. This isn't something that people will just pass off as unfortunate. And you've got to remember, with the COVID stuff, there was quite a few believers in COVID. With this, I think there's less and less believers in this war on a daily basis. And whereas it took 2 years for people to get their head around the fact that a lot of this COVID stuff was just pretty much fake garbage.
Yeah, a lot of people were afraid. They actually thought they were going to die from COVID. A lot of people were freaked out. I knew people who insisted on having deliveries left on their doorstep for 2 or 3 days before they even took it into the house. They were that freaked out.
Yeah,
nobody thinks the Russians are going to invade.
That's what I mean. It took people 2 years or more to, in large enough numbers, get on the fact COVID was fake to actually really start pushing back, which they did towards the end. Now, the war in the Ukraine's been going, what, 4 months?
Four months.
Well, in 4 months, people are sick of this. As I said, it took them 2 years or so to get enough people sick of COVID to really start making a noise. It's taken 4 months for people to be sick of this war. And that tells you the difference between people will give up their freedoms, as they did with COVID, far more readily than they will face financial hardship. What I mean is, are we coming to a break?
No, I was just going to ask. But go ahead, make your point. And then
I was going to say, people would happily live in a gilded cage. If you said to people, you're not allowed to go outside, you're not allowed to see anyone, but you're going to get paid 80% of your wage for doing nothing other than sunbathing in the garden, playing your favourite computer games, indulging in the hobbies you never had time for, and finally getting around to doing that DIY that your missus has been pecking your head to do and you never had time to do. People can live with that. What people can't live with is being told that all the things they love are going to be stripped away from them because they can't afford to do them anymore because economic problems are hitting them in the pocket. That is your big difference, Patrick.
Okay, so Boris Johnson's future is very much in question then. Now here's the thing. To what extent are the rest of the members of the cabinet, the people on the back bench, the rest of the people in the Conservative Party, to what extent are they tarred with the same brush? Has there been a big general rah, rah, rah for the Ukraine?
That's running out of steam. That will run out of steam as well. Because as we saw with COVID, you've got to remember, we talked a lot about COVID, and towards the end, you started to see a lot of backbench or rebel conservatives saying, hey, I don't want this anymore. My constituents don't want this anymore. And if this carries on, it's getting more and more unpopular and I'm not going to get reelected. And I want to get reelected because I get 84 grand a year, plus this, plus that, plus the other expenses, massive pensions. I want to get reelected. It's my gravy train. That is what they were thinking. So all of a sudden they turned on the official COVID narrative in many cases. And you must remember the sight and sound of Conservative MPs cheering in Parliament when finally Boris Johnson brought the whole charade to an end. And this will happen again with the Ukraine, because when this starts to really bite, and it is starting to really bite, and people start saying to their MPs, I'm never voting Conservative again. You've left me in a situation where we had to cancel the family holiday. Well, I'll tell you this now. They'll start to panic and they'll turn on each other like rats in a sack.
Has there been any British political grouping, any faction in any of the parties that have at least expressed reservations about this, if not opposition?
I wouldn't say so as of yet. There are people. There are people. Well, to some degree, there are people starting to grumble. We have already seen some signs of grumbling about Boris being over there, that he should be focusing on problems at home. And that is the start. That is the polite way of saying, hey, people don't like what they're seeing here. You know, people are beginning to have enough. That is the polite way of saying, we don't want to see this anymore. You need to get your ass back here, Boris, because trouble is a brewing at home. And that, if they're saying that in public and phrasing it politely now, how long ago are they going to be saying it as politely? And what are they saying privately, not so politely, when the cameras aren't on? Because that's how it always starts. It always starts with a little sort of tap on the shoulder, like, you might think about reconsidering that. And that's the polite way of saying, you're being a total ass. You're letting yourself down, you're letting the country down, you're letting the party down, and you're going to wreck this for us all, so sort yourself out. That's the polite way of saying that. Now, you can say that in a much more impolite way, and if people don't listen to the polite tap on the shoulder and advice, if a government or a prime minister or a front bench doesn't listen to the polite tap on the shoulder, well, then you get something more. And a number of people who are senior advisors to Boris Johnson, who were quite close to him, have now abandoned him. And this is only going to get worse. And he is quite beleaguered. And I think people will be thinking to themselves, if now we can shunt him out, we can blame everything on him, we can cut him away, and maybe the public will buy the fact that all of this wasn't the problem of the Conservative, or wasn't the fault of the Conservative Party, but was in fact a Boris problem. It was all the fault of Boris. And we can blame Boris, and the public will give us another chance as Conservatives, rather than seeing us as the party of Boris Johnson. I think that's what some of them will be thinking, that fundamentally, that could still be a road out for them. That could be a way out. That could be a way to save their name. And if they put somebody in who is clean, who is seen as a good guy, who is seen as someone that the public could buy into, I believe that's what some will be thinking now. And that's happened before. That's happened before. It obviously happened with Margaret Thatcher. They got rid of Margaret Thatcher in the 90s, replaced her with John Major. Yeah. And it was seen as, this is a new start. Out goes, and it was like the out, you know, we're not getting rid of the Conservatives, but we're getting rid of Thatcher and the Thatcher era. And once the Thatcher era is gone, we will have a new, fresh, wondrous start with the real Conservatives. The Conservative Party will have a second start, but it's not the Conservatives that need to go. It's the Thatcher era that needs. And that was something that did happen. And I think the same could well be happening here, that they'll say, well, what we actually want is an end to the Johnson era, and then the Conservatives will go on, you know, without him. Yeah. That's what they'll probably be looking to do.
Well, what we've got here is, you know, the Democrats who in past wars, there were factions of Democrats who were against wars, have been unanimous. Every single member of Congress has been in favor of this. The only Democrat, and she's not in elected office anymore, Tulsi Gabbard, she actually speaks very clearly. She speaks very well on the wars, but she's not in office anymore. And so the only people you have a few, you know, MAGA Trump people, new people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is very new to all this. She doesn't speak clearly, but she's at least on the right side of things. But you've got dozens and dozens of new candidates that are being backed by Trump in this election. And Trump himself, even though he doesn't speak clearly, he is emerging as, if you can read between the lines, an anti-war force here. And things could get interesting after the midterm elections, because we know that the Democrats are just going to, in the House of Representatives at least, they're just going to completely be devastated. And so the thing is, you're going to have dozens and dozens of these MAGA people who are going to come in on Trump's coattails effectively. And there's even talk, I'm not predicting this, but there is even talk of Trump becoming the Speaker of the House, because technically you don't have to be a member of the House of Representatives to become the Speaker. They can pick anyone. And there's even Trump was asked about this, and he didn't rule it out. And so whatever happens, things are going to get very weird here. But we're up at the break, so we'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Okay, we're back, and I usually like to take this last segment to ask you what you're doing with your other shows and with your other projects.
Well, I've got loads of stuff lined up at the moment, Patrick, and I am very, very busy. We've got 4 amazing weeks coming up on Patriotic Weekly Review. We've got Wesley Russell this week, followed by Morgoth the week after, followed by Paul Stevenson, followed by Kevin McDonald. So we really do have a superb lineup of different talents coming on PWR, and then hopefully shortly after that I'm negotiating with another young lad who is a very, very talented young guy. He's quite new to this scene. He'd only just started a channel, because I don't like just to have I don't like to be a guy that just has on, you know, confirmed big hitters. I do like to actually give, you know, new people a chance, a way up. You know, I do like that. I don't want to be that guy that just has all the, you know, big names on. I want to be able to give a leg up to people who are new in this movement. So we're going to be showcasing some real new talent not long after this as well. So we've got a lot happening, and hopefully it will keep people both entertained and informed, because that's what we aim to do. And, you know, entertained and informed.
Okay. And then you used to do on Fridays, you'd have kind of a documentary style scripted YouTube, but now you're moving into a slightly different direction with that, right? You're doing more.
I've taken this in a new way, because those scripted videos took an awful lot of time to produce. So for sort of 8 minutes of audio, it maybe took you in the region of 8 hours to do. Yeah. So sort of, you know, for just a very short video, you would end up having to put in a large amount of work. And look, I'm not against putting in a large amount of work, but if you're putting 8 hours in for sort of, you know, 8 to 10 minutes of audio, sometimes that isn't exactly a good return on investment of your time.
So what I tend to do, you had your YouTube channel with 100,000 followers removed, right? So you're not getting quite the same reach as before.
No, exactly. So I'm not getting the reach I was, and, you know, the time I was putting into it didn't necessarily correlate to what I was getting out of it. So I do my videos slightly differently now. I sit in front of a camera, I choose a topic to talk about, and I talk about it for 10, 15 minutes, sometimes a bit longer, actually, sometimes for, you know, half an hour, just off the top of my head, like we're talking now, but talking directly into the camera, bringing up facts and figures on stream. And I actually quite enjoy doing this. And I can usually rattle these off in one go. So it's not like I have to do 5 or 6 takes. I usually do one video's taken me 2 takes, but every other video I've done like this has just been a single take video, which saves me an awful lot of time. And, you know, I'm not trying to shortchange people or, you know, take away what I used to do, but I am a bit pushed for time now with so many different things on my plate. And I don't want to be spending all of that time producing sort of a heavily scripted video when I can do informative and entertaining videos where you're actually looking me in the eye, you're looking at me as I speak a lot quicker and in a lot more streamlined fashion. And so far I've been getting some pretty good responses from these videos. People seem to be liking them, which is obviously what I want. I hope people enjoy them. And if people aren't enjoying the new style, obviously I want to hear, and, you know, I'd like to hear from people and hear the feedback. But if people aren't enjoying it, you know, you can always change back.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.